Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, August 30th, 2020. I'm reading the articles on Thursday, September 3rd. We'll read today's articles first, and then wind our way back into articles that were published earlier this week. The latest update on COVID-19 testing in San Angelo and Tom Green County, Texas. September 3rd, City of San Angelo. 3,285 positive cases reported. 24 new positive cases. 21 currently hospitalized. 657 active cases. 60 deaths. 43 Tom Green County residents, 17 out-of-county residents. Affidavit states, San Angelo man inappropriately touched child three times, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man was arrested Wednesday after a child made two outcries of sexual contact, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Thursday. A report was made August 18, 2020, to the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services involving sexual contact with a child younger than 17. The child told an adult a man had touched her and he caused the child to touch him, according to the affidavit. A Tom Green County deputy met with a witness and the child at the Children's Advocacy Center of Greater West Texas's Hope House on August 25th. The child said they were in a San Angelo backyard when a man called her over, exposed himself, and made the child touch him, according to the affidavit. On Tuesday, September 1st, the child also reported the man had inappropriately touched her twice in one day between August and June 2019, records state. The deputy spoke with the man who originally agreed to talk about the investigation, then stated he would need an attorney present before answering questions. Victor Hugo Fierros, 48, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of indecency with a child by sexual contact. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $45,000 bond as of 11:15 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. San Angelo police urge residents to be wary of rental property scams, by Elena Edgen. The San Angelo Police Department has been made aware of recent rental property scams and is urging residents to be careful when securing a new rental property. Rental listings have been copied from local listings and are spoofing the scammer's contact number, according to the SAPD's Facebook post. The fraudulent listings give a lower than normal monthly rental fee and have no in-person meetings with the potential renter and scammer. These are two of several red flags that can identify a scam listing, according to police. Though no rental scam reports have been filed with police in the last 2 months, Sergeant Tim Kaufman said he's been told of two scam victims who chose not to report. The bad part about this is when people learn they've been scammed, they get embarrassed. They may not make a report to law enforcement about it, Kaufman said. I recommend people call us and report it anyway. If it is past the statute of limitations, we'll inform you of that. We'll still take a report, and at least we know what's going on. Aaron Nelson, ex-official of the San Angelo Realtors Association and a Deerski and Deerski realtor and broker agent, mentioned these scams are common. These have gone on for years, Nelson said. They ebb and flow, but it's always something to be wary of. How to identify a rental scam. These rental scams usually have red flags, according to police. Here are 8 possible warning signs that something isn't right. Refusing to meet in person. The person listing the property does not want to meet in person. Some excuses to not meet include living out of town or being in the military. Rush to move in. The person wants you to move in immediately without showing the property. Potential renters should always view the property before signing the lease or sending money. In most rental scams, the individual advertising the property doesn't actually have any way to access the inside of the property, according to the SAPD. Kaufman added that people should go by the property and see if a realty company has it. People can also check tax records and find the owner's name, then ask the person for their name. If a person is not sure, start asking a bunch of questions, Kaufman said. Be adamant about seeing the inside of the property. If they don't have access, it could be a pretty good indication it is a scam. Nelson mentioned people should still be wary, as scammers could break into a home to show it. Money before signing. The person asks for rent or a security deposit before signing a lease. While application fees are acceptable, the first month's rent is not. Do not mail or wire money before signing. As a potential renter, you should never be asked to give a large sum of money before seeing or having all parties sign a lease, according to police. There might be some cases where the scammer lives overseas and needs you to forward the money to them in return for the keys, which is a situation to be wary of. Another payment option prone to fraud is wire or online payments, which can be difficult to trace. Don't send money to people you've never met, Nelson said. Once the scammers have taken the money, it's difficult to track them down. Too good of a deal. If a property is priced below the area market rate, that is a red flag. People can research the estimated rent for the area using Zillow. Most of the time, these scams stand out, Nelson said. You're going to want to look at everything. Do your research for homes in your price range, and it should give you an idea of what to expect. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Bad typing. Rental listings with poor grammar, typos, or excessive punctuation are another sign. Landlords or property managers usually write a decent listing. No screening. Professional landlords use a screening process to check potential tenants. If there is no credit check or rental application, it could be a scam or an unconcerned or inexperienced landlord. Unfinished lease. Renters should read the lease and make sure it is complete. If not, the person may not have your best interest in mind and could change the lease at any time. Don't tell the manager. Some properties may have a property manager. If the person who listed the property says don't contact the manager, this could indicate a scam. Property managers and landlords can watermark their photos, which make it more difficult for scammers to list the property, according to Nelson. How to report rental scams. If you find a fraudulent listing or become a victim of a rental scam, contact local authorities. Kaufman also asked for people to call the department's non-emergency number at 325-657-4315 if they see criminal or suspicious conduct. Contact the listing website so the listing can be taken down. That's probably the biggest thing you can do, Nelson said. Most sites have an option where you can flag a listing as fraudulent, and that listing will get taken down. If someone finds a rental property in a suspected scam and sees it on a realty site, contact the realty business as well. We don't have that happen as much as we used to, but if it was to happen, we will find where it was listed and will flag it, Nelson said. Most of the time, those scams don't last online too long. By the time we found out, it's already been taken down. Also, report it to the Federal Trade Commission, which works to protect consumers, and file a complaint with the Internet Crime Complaint Center. The following articles I'm reading now were published Wednesday, September 2nd. Mexican Food Truck Opening in San Angelo by Rosanna Aguilera. A new food truck is opening in San Angelo on Friday, September 4th. Chela's Kitchen will be serving up Mexican home-cooked meals for people on the run, according to its Facebook page. The food truck, located at 2822 Martin Luther King Drive, will open at 11 a.m. Friday. Make plans to come have a nice Mexican dish followed with a fruit cup for dessert, stated a Facebook post. Park, sit, enjoy, and relax, or just drive through, but come by. On Saturday and Sunday mornings, menudo, pozole, and breakfast burritos will be served from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Lunch will be served until 2 p.m. The truck will also have sopes, tacos, enchiladas, camarones, a la Diabla, and salad bowls. Chela's Kitchen will be open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday and 5 to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. For more information, call 325-315-2756 or go to the truck's Facebook page, www.facebook.com/chelas.kitchen.90 for daily specials. Habitat for Humanity Restore offers low-cost supplies for DIY projects by Colin Murphy. For people isolating at home due to the COVID-19 pandemic who may have found time for do-it-yourself projects or home improvement efforts, there is a resource in San Angelo that offers a low-cost alternative to big-name hardware stores. And while many of the products at the Habitat for Humanity Restore may be used, they are far from used up. The Habitat for Humanity Restore, located at 401 North Chadburn Street in downtown San Angelo, is a nonprofit home improvement store, which not only saves customers money, but also keeps building materials out of local landfills and helps support the work of Habitat for Humanity. The store caters to a wide variety of clientele, said Executive Director Pam Hammer. When I started here, I really wasn't sure who shopped with us, Hammer said. What I found was it's everybody. Everybody comes in from contractors to members of the public who are looking for do-it-yourself stuff. We have a lot of stuff that's donated that is very unique. If you need something for your home but you can't afford something brand new, we probably have it, and it's probably just gently used. Hammer said while the inventory of the store is constantly changing, there are some items that Habitat for Humanity consistently accepts from people interested in donating. Accepted household items include light fixtures, cabinets, blinds and shutters, doors and windows, shelves, paint, and plumbing supplies. The store does not accept appliances, used paint, fluorescent lights, cloth furniture, or burned, wet, or rotting wood. Hammer said as long as the donation is in gently used condition and can be cleaned up or repaired, the Habitat for Humanity Restore might be interested in putting it on the shelf, keeping it out of a landfill, and helping people in the community improve their home. If your stuff is still in good condition or something that can be easily fixed, bring it to me, Hammer said. There are so many people out there that can use this store. We have so much to offer here. We get new stuff every day. Sometimes we get stuff that we're not exactly sure what it is, and we still have a lot of people that did not know we are open. Come to us first. We have bathtubs, we have sinks, we have windows. We have a lot of stuff you can use before you go buy something brand new. It all goes into our mission of building brand new houses for low-income families. The store is open Tuesday through Thursday, every week from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the last Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. More information about the Restore can be found at www.habitatsanangelo.org. Reward grows for Texas 10 most wanted sex offender who has ties to San Angelo. This is by Daniel Barunda, published originally from the El Paso Times. A $4,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the capture of a Texas 10 most wanted sex offender fugitive who fled from an El Paso area halfway house. The Texas Department of Public Safety said that Marco Antonio Toscano, 34, has been wanted since September 2018 when he left a halfway facility at 1650 North Horizon Boulevard near Horizon City. Toscano is the featured Texas sex offender fugitive for September, and the $4,000 reward is only if the tip comes in this month, DPS said. DPS reported that Toscano has ties to El Paso, San Angelo, and Southern California. Toscano is wanted on charges of failure to register as a sex offender and a parole violation. In 2006, Toscano was convicted of indecency by sexual contact with a 9-year-old girl in Tom Green County, where San Angelo is the county seat, DPS said. In 2015, Toscano was convicted of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon in Edwards County, located west of San Antonio, DPS said. Toscano is 5 feet 6 inches tall, about 195 pounds, with tattoos on his left ear, left hand, both arms, neck, back, and abdomen, according to a wanted bulletin. The tattoos were not described. DPS stated that Toscano is considered armed and dangerous and has no gang affiliation. Texas DPS each month puts a spotlight on a sex offender on the Texas 10 Most Wanted program, with a higher reward in the hope of generating more tips. The reward is funded through the Governor's Criminal Justice Division. Anyone with information on Toscano may call Texas Crime Stoppers at 1-800-252-8477 or 252-TIPS or online at the Texas 10 Most Wanted website. That website address is www.dps.texas.gov/texas10mostwanted/mostwanted. San Angelo Central graduates' art featured in Aaron Condren Black Lives Matter collection by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo Central graduate's art has been featured in a Black Lives Matter collection for Aaron Condren. Gracelyn Economidis, 20, graduated from Central High School in 2018 and is now attending Texas State University, pursuing her degree in consumer affairs with a teacher certification in family and consumer sciences. Economidis purchased an iPad in December 2019 and began drawing artwork of inspirational quotes, which she posts on her Instagram, Grace and Grub. She was later asked by Aaron Condren if she wanted to be a part of a collaboration amplifying Black voices. Aaron Condren is a lifestyle brand known for creating fun and functional organization essentials such as journals, planners, stickers, and more. The Black Lives Matter collection, featuring Economidis' work and 4 others, released on August 27th. We're honored to partner with amazing Black artists to spotlight their inspiring art on our projects in support of equality and racial justice, the company stated. All of the profit is split between the artist and social justice charities of their choice. Make someone feel loved today, is Economidis' quote, reminding everyone to look beyond themselves and spread love. Economidis' design gives back to the National Black Child Development Institute, which supports the improvement of quality of life for Black children and families through education and advocacy. The following articles I'm reading now were published Wednesday, September 1st. City of San Angelo announces Labor Day closures. Here's What You Should Know by Elena Edgen. Some San Angelo city offices will be closed Monday for Labor Day, according to a news release from the city. On Monday, September 7th, these offices will be closed: Station 618 Senior Center, Santa Fe Crossing Senior Center, Southside Recreation Center, Carl Ray Johnson Recreation Center, McNeese Convention Center, San Angelo, Tom Green County Health Department, Fairmont Cemetery's Business Offices, Municipal Court, WIC Offices, San Angelo Nature Center, San Angelo Animal Shelter. Offices will reopen Tuesday at 8 a.m. Garbage pickup will continue as scheduled. All city parks will be open for recreational use, including camping and public boat ramps, according to the release. Spring Creek and Middle Concho parks will charge admission, which is $3 per vehicle for residents and $6 for non-residents. Camping passes are $6 per campsite for residents and $12 for non-residents, according to the release. This will be the last weekend admission charged until next spring. The municipal pool will be open from noon to 6 p.m. Saturday through Monday. Admission is free for children younger than 3, $5 for ages 3 to 64, and $3 for ages 65 and older. Fort Concho will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for self-guided tours, and admissions are by donation, according to the release. While celebrating the holiday, the city is asking for people to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. People should wear a mask when social distancing is not possible. Wash hands for at least 20 seconds often. Use hand sanitizer when washing is not available. And avoid large gatherings with people from other households. Between 80 to 100 jobs coming to San Angelo after Colorado family leases meatpacking plant, by John Tufts. Lambs, sheep, and goats will once again be processed at a San Angelo meatpacking center left vacant for 15 years after city council members voted Tuesday to lease the building to a family group of agricultural business partners, according to a city news release. The former Rancher's Lamb of Texas plant, located on City Farm Road, which has been closed since 2005, will be revitalized and renamed Double J Lamb Incorporated, Texas, and is expected to hire an initial workforce of 80 to 100 people. On September 1, 2020, city officials held a special meeting in which council members unanimously approved, 6-0, for city manager Daniel Valenzuela to negotiate the lease of the city-owned land to Double J Meat. District 6 council member Billy DeWitt was not present during the vote. Officials said Jay and Joe Hasbrock and family of Alt, Colorado, and Double J Meatpacking, Double J Lamb Feeders, partnered to lease the building that will begin processing lamb, sheep, and goats, according to the release. "We want to support the sheep and goat growers of Texas," Jay Hasbrock said in the release. Jay Hasbrock's son, Jeff Hasbrock, manages Double J Lamb Feeders in Alt. Daughter, Kelly Kreider, operates Double J Meatpacking in Pierce, Colorado, where the family processes 150 cattle and buffalo a day, according to the release. City officials said the move to San Angelo will put the former Rancher's Lamb facility back in service, and past money owed to the city from the former company will also be reimbursed to the city of San Angelo as a result of the lease. "The San Angelo Chamber of Commerce welcomes the Double J Meatpacking Company to our community," said Walter Koenig, president and CEO of the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce, in a news release. "The reestablishment of this processing plant will drive growth in this critical sector and will provide lasting benefits to our local economy for decades to come." Officials said lambs from the Western Range will be shipped to San Angelo, and the lease will help the members of the Mountain States Lamb Cooperative find a place to process their lambs. The San Angelo plant was designed to process 1,800 head per day. The new company plans to process approximately 200,000 head of lambs per year at the San Angelo facility, according to the release. "The Hasbrocks are committed to helping design efficient ways for these large volumes of lambs to be processed by those ranchers feeding livestock in Colorado and other western states," the release stated. "This plant reopening will invigorate the sheep and goat industry in Texas, especially in the Concho Valley and the historically strong sheep and goat industrial base of the San Angelo area," a news release stated. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter applauded the move. San Angelo has always had a strong, solid economy based on agriculture, Gunter said. We believe this lease will support the city's long history of having a sheep and mohair business. At one time, San Angelo was the inland sheep and mohair capital. We believe this is an important step in continuing to support the industry. Officials said the lease could have a ripple effect in reinvigorating the wool and hair fiber sector, as well as the lamb and goat ranching industry in the Concho Valley. The global lamb industry is currently dominated by China, Australia, New Zealand, and Turkey. Domestically, Texas has the most sheep and lambs in the United States, followed by California and Colorado. The U.S. has 5.21 million head of sheep and lambs, approximately 25% of which are in Texas and California, according to the release. San Angelo Chamber of Commerce Board Chair Clifton Jones congratulated officials who worked to bring more economic growth to the city. The Economic Development Division of the San Angelo's Chamber of Commerce continues to recruit new businesses to our community that bring us more jobs and new capital investment, Jones said in the release. As board chair, I'm proud of the excellent work that Vice President Michael Looney is doing in this regard for our city. We're excited to welcome the Hasbrock family to San Angelo and extend our best wishes for much success for Double J Lamb Incorporated, Texas, he said. San Angelo man indicted on murder charges for double homicide in Lubbock. This is by Adam D. Young from the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, published September 1st. A 25-year-old San Angelo man has been indicted on murder charges in connection with a double homicide that investigators believe resulted from a drug deal turned robbery this summer in East Lubbock. Edward Wilson was indicted by a Lubbock County grand jury Tuesday on the murder charge, accused of being the gunman who killed 31-year-old Michael Carson and 64-year-old Gregory Tubbs on July 1st at a home in the 300 block of Beach Avenue. Wilson was arrested a week later by San Angelo police and was booked into the Tom Green County Jail on a charge of murder. His bond is set at $500,000. He's been in the Lubbock County Detention Center since August 7th. Lubbock police responding to a shots fired call in the area and found Carson and Tubbs inside a home, dead from apparent gunshot wounds. A witness told Lubbock Metro Special Crimes investigators that Carson was supposed to meet with two people from San Angelo to sell them crack cocaine, according to the arrest warrant. Investigators inspecting Carson's phone found phone numbers he was in contact with around the time of the shooting. One of the numbers contacted via Carson's phone before the shooting was listed as John Doe with a San Angelo address that they later learned was Wilson's from 2002 to 2018, the warrant states. Another witness told investigators that he was walking down the street by the residence when a white four-door car pulled into the driveway of the home. The witness said he recognized the vehicles as Carson's. Carson and Tubbs exited the vehicle and went inside the house. Meanwhile, the witness said a black man exited a white SUV parked nearby and came in the house after Carson and Tubbs. He said he saw a Hispanic woman with long hair in the driver's seat of the SUV, the warrant states. The witness told the investigators he continued walking, but heard what he believed to be gunshots about 3 to 4 minutes later. He turned and saw the black man running out of the house, clutching in front of his stomach, and got into the SUV, which sped off. A third witness told investigators they were at MLK Park in San Angelo on July 5th and heard Wilson and another man bragging to a crowd of people who were mostly their family members about going to Lubbock to rob Carson and Tubbs, the warrant states. The witness said the men told the crowd that something happened during the robbery and the two men got shot, and they ended up stealing money and drugs, the warrant states. The third witness, whose name was redacted from the warrant, said Wilson always carried a black handgun. The witness said they saw another shooting at the park on Juneteenth during which Wilson was in a gun battle with another man. The witness stated Wilson and the other man, who has not been arrested, are often with a long-haired Hispanic female who drives a small white SUV. San Angelo man posts photo of Air Jordan shoes, helps lead to two arrests, by Elena Edgen. Two San Angelo men have been indicted after a Sunset Mall employee identified a pair of shoes purchased with a stolen credit card, according to court documents released Friday. On June 23rd, a man reported someone had burglarized his unlocked vehicle. He reported his personal and company credit cards and a black Taurus 22 caliber revolver had been stolen, according to court documents. A nearby business's surveillance footage showed a silver vehicle parked by the man's vehicle. The video showed a passenger door of the man's vehicle open, but the suspects could not be seen, according to the arrest affidavit. During the investigation, the man discovered his cards were used at several Sunset Mall stores. Video surveillance from one store showed two men buying $238.14 worth of shoes with the man's company credit card, records state. Witnesses at two stores identified the men. Investigators noticed one of the men posted a Facebook photo of black and red Air Jordan shoes on June 26th. A store employee recognized the shoes purchased by the men with the card, according to an affidavit. Bobby Banda, 28, was arrested July 9th on suspicion of credit or debit card abuse. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $7,500 bond on July 11th, according to online jail records. An indictment charged Banda with credit card or debit card abuse enhanced to a third-degree felony, punishable by up to 10 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The charge has been enhanced due to Banda's previous conviction in May 2019 for possession of methamphetamine, according to the indictment. Ernest Gonzalez, 35, was arrested August 4th on suspicion of unauthorized use of a vehicle, credit or debit card abuse, and failure to identify as a fugitive from justice. He also had a parole violation warrant and was indicted on the card abuse charge on August 5th. Gonzalez remained in jail in lieu of an $8,000 bond as of Tuesday, according to online jail records. An indictment charged Gonzalez with credit card abuse enhanced to a third-degree felony, punishable by up to 10 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The charge was enhanced due to his prior convictions in 2015 for debit card abuse and 2016 for theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000. Their indictments, filed August 5th, were released in an indictment report Friday, August 28th. San Angelo police investigate vigilante justice against man allegedly luring children, by John Tufts. Police are investigating a possible case of vigilante justice Monday, in which one man was injured after a series of viral social media posts suggested he and another man posed a threat to the community, according to a news release. On August 31st, officials with the San Angelo Police Department said they were investigating multiple incidents related to two men who people claimed were attempting to lure children into a red, older model Ford Ranger pickup truck. Officials spoke with several people who said the two men had been acting suspiciously and following children and women, the release stated. Police said no incidents of attempted abduction had been reported. Our officers responded to each reported sighting. Both men, who appear to be suffering from an unknown cognitive impairment, were located and identified, and investigations into the reported incidents ensued, the release stated. Although none of the incidents have risen to a violation of Texas law thus far, we can assure you that the safety and welfare of our citizens is paramount, and our officers are exploring every possible avenue within legal guidelines to halt the activity. Police are also investigating several posts inciting physical retaliation against the men, according to the release. In a possible act of so-called vigilante justice, One of the accused men, age 41, was assaulted late last night at a local gas station during an altercation with three men who recognized him from the viral posts, the release stated. Officials said the man was later treated for a broken jaw. Police are still looking for those involved in the alleged altercation. We cannot stress enough the importance of reporting suspicious behavior when it is occurring. Sometimes people are reluctant to call 911 about behavior they feel is suspicious, or they choose to post on social media before calling authorities, the release stated. The San Angelo Police Department wants to remind our citizens that reporting suspicious activity immediately can help police prevent or interrupt crime. Police are cautioning members of the public to refrain from approaching the men and taking matters into their own hands. Officials have encouraged those who have had a recent encounter with the men to contact the San Angelo Police Department as soon as possible at 325-657-4315 to file an incident report. The following articles I'm reading now were published Monday, August 31st. San Angelo man reportedly stabbed woman, threatened to use pipe bomb on her children, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man was arrested Friday after a woman reported she had been stabbed and threatened with death, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On Friday, August 28th, police responded to a woman reporting a stabbing. The woman told officers the man attacked her Thursday while they were walking in the 1300 block of North Irving Street, according to the affidavit. The woman fled and received treatment at Shannon Medical Center, which confirmed she had been treated for a stab wound on her arm, records state. She did not report the stabbing until Friday due to fear of retaliation. The woman said the man threatened to go to her residence and blow her and her children up with a pipe bomb, according to an affidavit. Investigators discovered the man went to his workplace after the assault and told his co-workers he stabbed the woman with a knife, according to the affidavit. Andres Rodriguez, 42, also known as Andrew Garcia and Andrew Del Rio Rodriguez, was arrested Friday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and evading arrest detention. He remained in the Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $62,500 bond as of noon Friday, according to online jail records. Police investigate San Angelo man's drowning Saturday. Foul play not suspected, by Elena Edgen. The San Angelo Police Department is investigating after a 40-year-old San Angelo man drowned Saturday, according to a police news release. About 2:30 p.m. Saturday, August 29th, police responded to the 300 block of South Oak Street in relation to a drowning incident. First responders found Thomas Pike, a 40-year-old transient, unresponsive near Celebration Bridge, according to the release. An investigation revealed that Pike had been drinking with a group of transients on the northern side of the river before going swimming, which led to the drowning, according to the release. Susan Werner, Precinct 1 Justice of the Peace, pronounced Pike as deceased. Police do not suspect foul play, according to the release. This is an ongoing investigation. The following articles I'm reading were published Sunday, August 30th. Hundreds of cars line up for food drive in San Angelo, by Colin Murphy. In a stark illustration of the dire economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the residents of Tom Green County, the line of cars for the latest food drive, sponsored by the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank, stretched for over a mile along Chadburn Street from the Foster Coliseum past 29th Street. Julie Holt, Director of Communications for the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank, said the organization was prepared to feed 1,000 families. The donations included dairy products, produce, and dry goods. Holt said the cars started lining up early Saturday morning, and she praised the efforts by members of the community to help people affected by the pandemic. "This is an open food distribution," Holt said. This is part of the Farmers to Families program. This is a no-contact food distribution for the safety of our clients and the volunteers. People have been lined up since 7 a.m. We brought enough to feed 1,000 families. We are a staff of 8. We could not pull this off without the volunteers. We have over 60 volunteers out here, and we actually had to put people on a waiting list for volunteering. That's how our community responds. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Farmers to Families Food Box program was created by partnering with regional and local distributors to deliver food to those in need. The program also assists the agriculture industry, a sector of the economy whose workforce has been severely impacted by the coronavirus due to the closures of restaurants, hotels, and other parts of the food service industry. Resistance to changing the name of San Angelo's Lee Middle School continues, by Colin Murphy. The movement to change the name of Robert E. Lee Middle School in San Angelo continues to be met with resistance from those who want the name to stay. About a dozen supporters representing those who want the name kept in place staged a demonstration in front of the school Saturday, August 29th. One of the organizers of the event said one of the things they are concerned about is a potential domino effect. Debbie Cross said supporters of keeping the name are worried that if the effort to rename the school is successful, more institutions will be subject to review. They have a right to their view, just as we do, Cross said. But if they want to change this, they will go after other schools or street names and things like that. It has to stop. We have to learn history and learn from history. We need to just keep it the way it is. We are just keeping on fighting the good fight. San Angelo criminal activity investigation leads to 4 arrested, recovery of stolen guns, by Elena Edgen. 4 people have been arrested in an ongoing investigation into criminal activity on Colorado Avenue in San Angelo, according to a police news release. From Wednesday to Friday, August 28th, the anti-gun and gang police units arrested 4 people in connection to criminal activity in the 2000 block of Colorado Avenue. Investigators conducted a search warrant and found a quantity of stolen items, including guns, according to the release. Alfredo Neva Chavez, 17, was arrested Friday on suspicion of possession of marijuana. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $5,000 bond as of 3:45 p.m. Friday. Chavez had been previously arrested and released on Wednesday on suspicion of possession of marijuana, evading arrest, detention, and unlawful carrying of a weapon, according to online jail records. Vanessa Nicole Gonzalez, 22, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of possession of marijuana. She was released Friday on a $1,000 bond, according to online jail records. Micah Saldivar, 19, was arrested Friday on suspicion of possession of marijuana and possession of a controlled substance. He was released from jail about an hour and a half later on a $2,000 bond, according to online jail records. Jonathan Andrew Tucker, 17, was arrested Friday on suspicion of burglary of a habitation and unauthorized use of a vehicle. He remained in jail as of 4 p.m. Friday, according to online jail records. Tucker was also arrested and released Wednesday on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance and marijuana. Additional charges are pending the outcome of this ongoing investigation, according to the release. Odessa man indicted, accused of trying to help parolee escape with Midland woman, by Elena Edgen. Update. An Odessa man has been indicted on accusations he attempted to help a parolee escape with a Midland woman. Jeremy Jader Porras, 28, of Odessa, was indicted August 8th on suspicion of hindering apprehension or prosecution of a known felon, according to online jail records. Porras is now waiting for a jury trial set for January 25th, 2020. Initial story. An Odessa man and Midland woman have been arrested after a tip led officers to a San Angelo man who was recently arrested during a shooting and drug investigation, according to court documents. On Saturday, June 6th, San Angelo police received a tip that a man wanted for violating parole was at home in the 2000 block of Walnut Street. A witness told officers two people had just arrived from Midland, according to the arrest affidavits. The wanted man told the witness the two were there to take him back to Midland to escape parole warrant apprehension, according to the affidavits. Officers found the man in the attic and an Odessa man and Midland woman in a back bedroom. All three were arrested. Mark Philip Crawley, 28, returned to Tom Green County Jail on Saturday on suspicion of violating parole. He remained in jail with no bond listed as of 1 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. On June 3rd, Crawley was arrested on suspicion of first-degree felony manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. He was released on a $60,000 bond the next day. Jeremy Jader Porez, 28, of Odessa, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of hindering apprehension or prosecution of a known felon. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $15,000 bond as of 1 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Kaylee Stroud, 24, of Midland, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of hindering apprehension or prosecution of a known felon. She was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $15,000 bond Sunday, according to online jail records. Coronavirus, Texas. San Angelo resident embraces change due to COVID-19, by Colin Murphy. Before the summer of 2020, 71-year-old Gene Lowe worked as a fry cook at Angelo State University, and the thought of owning and operating his own business wasn't even on his radar. Then COVID-19 struck the country, and one of the first economic casualties of the pandemic was the service industry. Like many restaurant workers, Lowe was laid off. Like many who lost their jobs due to the pandemic, Lowe still had bills to pay. He also had a lawnmower. Now, every morning, he braves the scorching West Texas sun, standing near a corner on Sunset Drive in front of the Target parking lot, waving a sign that simply says, "Will mow lawns." Lowe has been standing at that corner every day since he lost his job, advertising his crusty old geezer lawn service. And if he's not there, it's because he's working. "Unless I'm mowing a lawn, I'm here," Lowe said. "Whenever I don't have a lawn to do, I'm here 7 days a week. You gotta do what you have to do to pay the bills." Lowe said while business has been good at times, it's been inconsistent in the past few weeks. But overall, Lowe said he's been pleasantly surprised at the reception his business has received from the community. "It's hit and miss," Lowe said. "Sometimes I'll mow two or three lawns a day, and then sometimes I'll go a few days without anything. But San Angelo has a big heart. It's unbelievable what some people do. I've had people stop and pray with me. I had some people stop the other day, and they gave me a backpack with some snacks and goodies. It had a six-pack of water in it and a first aid kit, just full of stuff that was really useful. People do that all the time." A few people passing by got the wrong first impression, according to Lowe. He said he tries to stress that he is not panhandling. Lowe said he is trying to create an opportunity for the future. "Some of them think maybe I'm homeless or hungry," Lowe said. "I'm not. I want to work. And I don't just want to work. I want to build my business. This is the first time I've ever worked for myself. It's the first time I've ever had my own business. It might be small, but it's the first time I've never had to take orders from anybody. I can set my own hours. I'm just out here trying to make an honest living. It doesn't get any better than that." After 50 years, COVID-19 pandemic was the breaking point for Corona's family business, by Rosanna Aguilera. After 50 years of business in San Angelo, the COVID-19 pandemic was the breaking point for Corona's formal wear. The shop announced the store was closing in a Facebook post Wednesday evening. Corona's formal wear is going out in style, the post stated. Owner Patty Corona Bunyard is closing the store at the end of October 2020. It has been a very difficult year, Bunyard said. The past 10 years have been hard, but all of this really put a header on it. COVID has been a major player in all of this. Located at 1819 Knickerbocker Road, the shop has been a San Angelo tradition, with a large selection of gowns, formal shoes, jewelry, and prom dresses in West Texas since it was opened by Mary Louise Corona. I've been in this store since I was 11 years old and began working here when I was 19, and have been here ever since, Bunyard said. My mother has always said we were very special here because it has always been a happy place. The business began to take shape in 1969 when the family matriarch and San Angelo native purchased property on Knickerbocker Road and built a building after having owned the Fabric Mart in town, according to her May 6, 2016 obituary. She continued to change with the times, explore her personal growth, and transform her beloved store into Corona's formal wear, the obituary stated. Her love for her family and friends, far and wide, was deep and pure, but her favorite activity was working in her store. Bunyard said the family began sewing and selling swimwear in the 60s. When sewing went out of style, the store switched to formal wear in 1986. We have changed a lot through the years. The things we have done to stay in business are extreme, she said. There is a lot of fabric in people's drawers right now from us closing back then. Now we want everyone to buy a party dress, take it home, and remember that we were here. Bunyard said the store will begin having sales around September 15th, after current business is wrapped up. We will start moving stuff out. I don't know what else to do with all of this, she said. I will move more inventory through internet sales, maybe pop-up sales around the state. It's all very beautiful stuff. San Angelo residents were saddened by the news. I always dreamed of going to Corona's first, one day when I start to look for a wedding dress. This is so sad, Maddie Barron said in a Facebook comment. Going to Corona's was such a big part of my teenage and growing up years. I forever will remember you all. Many women remarked on the quality of products and attentive staff at the store. You've had a unique quality of making me feel beautiful over the years in your unique and amazing pieces, a comment from Stacy Patterson said. I'm not quite sure how to react when my next special occasion comes around. And finally, here is Allison Watkins' column. Yard care, September, good time to apply herbicide. Landscaping and gardening are all about delayed gratification. Most of the labor is for a future result. Some tasks have an instant impact, like replenishing mulch in beds or planting sod. But plants take time to grow and fill in. Vegetables need time to produce, and all the efforts made in the yard or garden will be worth it in the long run. But patience is required to see the outcome. Fall is a big season for yard work and has many such tasks. It's time to plant spring wildflowers, spring bulbs, trees, shrubs, and more. For yards that stay green through the winter with cool season weeds like rescue grass, annual bluegrass, and henbit, the first 2 weeks of September is a good window of time to apply a pre-emergent herbicide to prevent them from taking over. Cool season weeds can create a need for winter mowing. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the break from mowing for a while. And also impact spring lawn green up and overall turf vigor the following year. Don't apply pre-emergent to newly planted lawns or anywhere seeds or new transplants will be planted in the next few months. Read the label carefully and follow all directions for product, rate, and application instructions. Pre-emergent is a type of herbicide that kills seedlings as they germinate and try to grow and must be applied before they come up. It will not control existing weeds or perennial weeds. It is most effective for annual weeds that only return each year from seed. Some examples of common homeowner pre-emergent herbicides include Benafin, Dithioper, Indazaflam, Orizalin, and Pendimethalin. These are most effective against grassy weeds, but have some broadleaf control. Isoxabin is an option for broadleaf weeds and can be combined with a grassy weed preventer if needed. For more information on pre-emergent herbicide use, visit https://tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture and click on the pre-emergent herbicide link. Another fall turf grass task is fertilization. Don't fertilize drought-stressed grass. Wait until it cools down a little and we've had some fall rain. But do get it down before around October 1st. Don't fertilize too late in the season. The Master Gardener's annual Fall Symposium educational event has been moved online this year. Please join us Saturday, September 12th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. to hear from three top speakers. For more info and to sign up, visit https://txmg.org/Concho Valley.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.